Hello.
Hola. ¿Cómo estás?
Y tu mamá. And how are you, Raf?
I'm doing pretty well. We're sitting in the living room today.
We are trying a new sound experiment.
The way that we're recording this podcast is cheaply. I bought a Samsung portable mic that got very good reviews, but it is small. It is
quite small.
It's got good sound quality for what I guess a mic that you can put in your pocket and carry with you.
Oh, that's what it's designed for, I see.
But for, you know, our previous setup with Ben was pretty elaborate.
Yeah.
So we're just trying different situations.
Yeah, let us know which sounds the best.
Well, you don't have to. We'll figure it out.
All right, never mind. Screw you guys.
Yeah.
Well, we're sitting in the living room, and that means that the sun is bright and directly in my eyes. So
yeah.
Raf gave me some sunglasses to wear.
Right.
But so this is a weird thing that's been happening to me. This last week, usually I get a migraine once every couple months. I got four this week.
Whoa.
Which makes me think I'm dying.
You might be dying?
I should go to the doctor. But the worst thing is, like, basically what happens is I'll be looking at it's like I look at a bright light and look away, but then that bright spot doesn't go away, and it widens, and it covers my whole eye, and it's kind of like I'm blind for about 15 minutes.
Yeah, I should go see a doctor.
Well, that's just the normal migraine, but this happened four times in one week.
Oh, man. Hey, you got health insurance and a totally lax attendance policy.
That's
so
true.
So you should just go.
That's true. That is very true.
Yeah.
How are you? How's your health?
Pretty good. I've been taking it super easy since St. Patty's Day.
Oh, yes.
So this is actually my first half drink since then.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wait, you didn't drink at Mike's birthday?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
What?
You didn't drink at my show on Friday?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just because you were like, I've gone too far?
I was just super hungover, super sick. I was like sick all week. I was like, all right, this was hilarious when I was like in college.
Now you're 30 years old.
Yeah. Now, 30. Like, you know, I don't, plus there hasn't been like any insane events or anything.
Yeah.
I'm just like, listen, I'm just going to take a break.
Well, what happened to me, so I had my opening night of Improvised X-Files on Friday, and I stayed out till 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then I couldn't do anything the next day, and it made me sad. I mean, it was fun, but I ended up at the hot dog bar, just eating hot dogs, which was great.
The show which I was at was really good.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed it. The openers was the worst improv set I've ever seen in my entire life.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like you've seen a lot of bad ones.
I know. That was the one. That was the worst one.
I'm not going to say their name. I didn't know. I actually wasn't really watching. I was kind of out back getting ready. I think it was like a friend of a friend, so
yeah, I don't know. It was they could have had an off night.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm always a fan of all female groups just because they're underrepresented. In 2 weeks, my playground team will be opening for that show, so anybody listening gets a double dose.
Excellent.
Yeah,
so fun.
It is fun. I'm a huge X-Files nerd. For anybody that doesn't know, I have a lot of memorabilia, some signed scripts, we got some trading cards, the works.
The works, right. I have, like, an orientation interview thing for this new startup thing that's happening in Chicago. Basically, it's called Postmates, and it's like a delivery service.
Oh, I saw Aaron posting about it. The bike thing?
Yeah, yeah. So
careful. You're going to be a bike messenger?
I hope so.
Be careful.
I already have like 2.5 days of bike messenger experience from like 5 years ago. And it was awesome.
Why?
I had so much fun.
Why didn't you continue?
It was just a one-time gig.
Oh.
I was delivering these local urban city guide pamphlet things for this guide. They were called like Chicago Unseen Guides or something like that. And it was just like a one-time delivery thing. And they wanted to go green. So I was just biking like all over the city with just like several bags of like pamphlets strapped to me.
I like that they're going green and then giving out pamphlets left and right.
Yeah, but it was really great. So I got to like check that off my bucket list. But now if this becomes like a viable part-time gig for me to do through the summer and like along with my other stuff, this would be like really cool.
Yeah, you really like that. Didn't you really like that Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie? Did I make that up?
Yeah.
I didn't see it. I just like felt like you were a really big advocate Premium of Rush. It. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a really fun, simple action flick. Like, I just really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was great.
I don't think I'm aggressive enough to be a bike messenger. I like to go very slowly. Yeah.
I don't think it's technically...
I guess it depends if you're, like, operating on, like, I gotta do a ton a day, or if you just, like, have a set number.
It's not always just about hauling ass. I think a lot of it is just about pre-planning and smarts. Just knowing where to go.
Yeah, you know the city really well.
How to go, so it's, you know...
Yeah, that's true.
So, pumped for that. I was actually shopping for helmets today.
Oh, yeah, you need to get one.
So, I'm gonna get this, like, $110 one.
Big?
Yeah. No, it's one of those speed cycling ones, and it's like really...
Oh, does it have like a tail thing?
It's just like a road cycling one, and it's got all these holes in it, so it's going to have good ventilation. So it's not a good winter helmet, but it's just like really adjustable and like fit well. So I'm like, sweet. I'm going to get that one. It's going to be sweet.
Good. Everybody wear a helmet out there. let us begin, huh? Yeah, you think?
Is that everything else?
I think so. Oh, I'm gonna make a calzone later. I never tried that before, so
nice. And I've been watching a lot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Me as well,
because we brought that up like 2 episodes ago.
That and Broad City.
Yeah,
I watched the Hurricane one today, and I LOL'd a couple times.
Broad City is great. It's a really good show.
I'm really enjoying it.
They took that web series and basically gave him a little bit more money, and it's kind of the same, just a little nicer.
I kind of need to... Actually, I haven't seen the actual web series. I've heard it's just, like, the same, but, like, very unpolished.
Yeah, they have, like, 4 or 5 episodes where it's just them talking on their video chat.
Oh, nice.
That's
yeah,
it.
They're great.
That's the whole episode.
Okay. So we left.
One more thing. If you check the Facebook page, if you check the podcast itself on Facebook, there's now a link to our iTunes page.
Oh yes, sweet.
So you can sync on iTunes, you can download, and please rate and review us on iTunes. Because that's... Nothing will make us happier in our lives.
Like, literally. Yeah.
Than you rating and reviewing our iTunes.
Especially if it's good, but if it's not, we'll work to improve.
If it's not, if you hate it, at least be creative with your, like, guesses.
Because then we'll LOL.
Yeah.
Why are you saying LOL?
Oh, right. One more thing. I started a Twitter feud with a restaurant this week.
Nice.
Yeah.
What restaurant?
Leghorn Chicken.
Leghorn?
Yeah, so there's this new hot spot in off like Western by kind of Augusta. It's like down the block from Empty Bottle.
Oh, that's so pretty close to me.
Yeah, so their thing is like clean, locally sourced, hormone free, massage, personally trained, like whatever chicken. Yeah. So I go in there, I order a kale salad and a chicken sandwich.
You shouldn't have ordered a kale salad.
Whatever, with no bread, because I'm not eating bread right now. So the kale salad is $5. The chicken sandwich, which is the size like this. This is the chicken piece that was served to me. That was $6.
Well, you didn't get the bread, which the bread's probably
sure, whatever. But it was $11 worth of food, and I was like immediately upset.
Yeah, I could tell.
The cup that it came with, the kale salad, was like this big, and it was smaller, cone-shaped on the bottom, so it just looked bigger on the top.
So it was like 2 bites?
It was ridiculous. I've never gotten like hosed like that on a meal before.
What was the Twitter back and forth? Are they there?
So
they
I like Instagrammed it. I like hashtagged it, and I was like, look at this hilariously child-sized meal I just had, a Leghorn Chicken. It was like $5 for this, $6 for this. I was like, go to Big Jones instead.
True.
Big Jones.
Big Jones. Big Jones.
Just go.
Oh my God, everybody go there.
Incredible. And then immediately, like, one of my friends was just like, oh, this local chicken costs money. And then that's what they tweeted at me. They're like, locally sourced chicken, like, costs money. And then I replied, like, what was the chicken's name? Did it have a personal trainer? Can you verify its happiness?
Also, like, how much does a whole local chicken cost, you think?
It's just, I don't know. But, like, they're cash only. They close early when they run out of supplies all the time. And they're posted up on Western and Augusta, okay? They're not throwing down River North money to, like, sell this stuff. It's ridiculous. They're constantly closing early. They don't allow me to use a credit card. They're giving me fucking shitty servings. Even my serving was smaller than, like, everyone else that I went with. Like,
that's
so
weird.
And those were small servings. So I got like the extra small serving, which is ridiculous. So whatever.
All right.
So feuding with those.
Well,
guys.
I won't go there because it sounds terrible. And
the next day, disgusting. Coulter and I went to String's Ramen in Chinatown. Got the Odin Ramen Bowl for $10.95, and I barely finished it. It was incredible. It was
one of the
best meals I've had in a while.
I'm going to Chinatown as soon as it gets warm out.
Awesome.
Okay, this book.
Here we go.
Dun, 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 dun. So we start with. Okay, I think I take my sunglasses off. We start at the morning ritual. Personally, this is my favorite chapter yet. What'd you think about this?
I thought it was. Yeah, I thought it was really good. I thought it was excellent. This is my favorite, like, you know, three chapters anyways so far. It just keeps getting better and better, which is really nice.
I finally feel like every character has like stakes, sort of, and except for Jazal. We still need to find out what this contest is, but. I feel like Glockta is really turning into our Tyrion.
Yeah, definitely.
Hand of the King, much. But he's also, like, actually, I kind of like him better because he's, like, worse.
Yeah.
So let's see.
He's definitely not hypocritical at all at this point. Like, he seems very sympathetic, but he's kind of a butt as well.
Because he's literally endured the worst that, like,
so he's just like, fuck it. Like, yeah. I got nothing to lose. Right. I just don't care.
So we start, though, with the Glocka dream sequence.
Yeah.
Which, I watched that Broad City episode today, which also started with a hilarious dream sequence. Different. Yeah. But still both great. So, he's into Artie West, which is weird because I keep thinking he's way older than he is, but he's not because he's only like 30 something.
Yeah, he's right, he's like mid-30s.
Yeah. And so then he's like, do you have anything to say about this dream sequence?
Pretty
the answer could be no.
No.
Okay. So then
No. Okay. It was good. It was telling.
It was a great opening to the next sequence, which is him waking up and his practical magic's waiting for him, like trying to get him up. And
a lot of contrast,
He pooped himself.
I think it was more resonant than pooping yourself and like everything. It was more resonant with the imagery of him being like the young strapping.
Yeah, for sure. Young man. I really do feel bad for him. It is really hard for me to picture him as a young man. I don't know if you're having that problem. I keep picturing him as this like old, decrepit dude, but he's not.
I do.
So he poops himself. And it's time for a bath. There's a lot of intersection between like Glockta as an adult and Glockta as a child in this chapter. Like he gets bathed, and he references his childhood a bunch in this chapter.
Yeah, it's interesting, and we also get some light shed on his left leg. Reads his grotesque, toeless left leg twitched to itself, still beyond his control. Blah blah blah, fucking horrible thing. Revolting, useless lump of flesh. Why didn't they just cut you off? Why don't I still? Well, yada yada, with his legs still on, he could at least pretend to be half a man.
Oh, the old half a man syndrome.
Half man. Interesting. Interesting.
I just thought about this, like, so Glockta tortures people for a living, and he knows exactly how they feel, which, for me, I think that would dissuade me from wanting to be a torturer.
Yeah.
It's interesting that he's gone the opposite way. He's like, anything you feel, I've already felt it, and I feel it every day. Yeah. I guess he does, but it's probably based in his general hatred of everybody, which I can respect.
Well, to me, so the next thing I underlined was, send down Glockta. The greatest swordsman the Union has ever seen must be carried to my bath by an old man so that I can wash my own shit off.
Yeah, he's
and
not.
And this is kind of like the falling off like the pedestal syndrome, you know, like the superstar who has had it all, the sports like superstar who then just retires and like no one pays attention to him anymore.
Well, it's not even like you're tired, it's like you got struck down. It's the Jason Street syndrome, if I may make a Friday Night Lights reference.
Oh, really?
To all y'all Friday Night Lights fans, season 1 episode 1, if you haven't seen the show, you'll know this. Jason Street's the star quarterback of the team. First episode, first season, spine gets snapped on the field, he's paralyzed. Oh my god, I was reading today, okay, this is a slight aside, I was reading a Grantland article about the top ten fictional quarterbacks of all time.
Yeah.
Two of them were Friday Night Lights. Whoa. And one honorable mention was Vince Howard of Friday Night Lights. But anyway, it's yeah. that, and Jason Street gets real bitter for a long time.
Right. I mean, there was a really telling Jordan that 50 article that just like... Was sad.
That was a really interesting read.
It was just like so crazy. But also, the mentality.
It was sad, but
yeah, nothing's wrong with him. It's just like the mentality of a person who had everything, you know, and like doesn't still kind of does, but doesn't have his youth. Doesn't have his like you know.
I was listening to a Harold Ramis interview, and I am starting to like realize that anybody. In my head, like, anybody who's really going to achieve success in their field has to be obsessive compulsive. It's, like, almost a rule at this point, which is kind of encouraging. Like, if you have the discipline to, like, do something so much, you'll be successful. But it's also discouraging because I'm not really the obsessive type. It makes me sad. Wish I was more obsessive.
I have a balanced approach to my obsessions.
You have, like, but your obsessions are, like, hobbies, which is, like, okay. It's not, like, it's kind of funny.
Right. My main obsessions include probably Game of Thrones, Allies. Somewhat rowing, I guess.
Yeah, in the spring. You kind of, like, fade away.
Well, I did... You know, when it's warm outside,
I'm out there. Game of Thrones is forever. Like, you don't ever wane. It's amazing.
Yeah. I'm going to be buried with a Valyrian steel sword.
Funeral jokes. Anywho, okay. So we sort of end this. Well, so we've talked about this before. At this point, all Glockta has is, like, visceral pleasure. This ends this little section of his bath, like, you have to love the small things when you've nothing else. They echo this line, the sentiment, a lot in the
both,
book.
Both Logan and Glockta say it, repeat
we've,
it.
We've got, like, a man in the wild and a man in the city who, like, have nothing to live for but momentary pleasures, which is interesting.
And it kind of reveals more of the plot of why Glockta is going to be a main player. So the guys that they tortured before and sent off to England was the next
England,
up to be,
right?
England to be next up to be the whatever the Grand Chancellor or whatever, right?
Yeah.
The council.
No, the Grand Chancellor died. No. The Lord Chancellor dies.
Right.
Wait. So we're skipping down.
The Surveyor General is going to be the next one up. He meets them briefly. And so Septen Twofold was sent off. They got rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the Archlector wants to downplay the power of like the Spicers and the Mercers and the merchant class. So they're basically they're pushing up their own guy into this main position in the council. War may or may not be coming soon, and they are totally going to mess with the merchant in the middle class. Like, shit is going to, like, happen.
They really hate these merchants.
Yeah.
Which, for me, I'm wondering how their taxation system works. So this whole thing is about the Inquisition, and I actually just recently listened to... it's the How Stuff Works Stuff You Should Know podcast, and it was all about the Inquisition of the European Inquisitions, and that was all, I mean, under the guise of religion, but I haven't actually heard any mention of religion at all in this.
No.
So, like, the Inquisition is kind of, like, foggy to me, like, what, it seems like when somebody doesn't do something they like, they're gonna have an Inquisition, which actually seems pretty unlikely if this is a long-lasting kingdom. I think the, like, religious Inquisition is, like, more interesting, at least. It gives you... Because, like, people could repent, and they would be... They wouldn't be tortured. I don't know. I'm still not quite sure what this Inquisition is.
Right. In all of this, I think there was, like, a little buried piece of a couple sentences.
I'm filling the air.
Yes. Basically, it dawned on me for some reason that, you know, the war was over and they were talking about, there was that, the intro was about him being like such a great fencer and then him being captured and tortured and everything. It just seems to me like there was a play where they could have totally killed him off,
mm-hmm.
but they left him tortured on purpose and gave him back because he was the champion swordsman of the
union or whatever. It's like a symbolic
thing. Yeah, symbolic. Like they wanted to, it would be more demoralizing, more offensive to give them back like this man, you know, tortured than just to kill him.
For sure. I'm skipping down a little bit.
Okay.
Basically, so what Solt is getting to is that so the Lord Chancellor has died, and the closed council is where the power lies. That's a direct quote. Basically, Solt needs to figure out how to gain control of the closed council. So he's like talking about the different people that they could hire, the surveyor, General Halleck, etc. And then he basically says that I need an inquisitor exempt. So this is where Glocka's new role comes in. Someone to operate beyond the superior's control, but with my full authority. Someone answerable only to me. And, like, he says they need somebody that's, whose loyalty to the Union is beyond question, which, that's my, like, big question about, right. About Glocka, is, like, why is he, what's the thing, we're definitely missing a piece of information that tells us why he will always be loyal to the Union.
Yeah.
Like, I think that could be maybe, like, a personal thing.
Okay. Obviously, he's very ambitious because he had that fall from power, let's say, the fall from the top,
mm-hmm.
but he's also very cynical, and like, it doesn't all add up. There's another piece
I'm there. Just trying to, like, this is me just spitballing. It's like, either I think it's something personal, like some sort of, like, maybe relationship, or
mm-hmm.
maybe like a Snape scenario, or, like, he just wants to punish the people who tortured him.
Could
it's kind of tough, though. Like, I just don't really get... Because in Game of Thrones, Tyrion, it's, like, his family that's easy, like, to explain.
Yeah.
So, I'm actually really curious to see what this big, like, missing piece is. I think that'll be cool to understand. But we kind of leave Glocka in the lurch. Now he's... What is the position? It's, like, basically, he'll have no friend. He'll have one... friend and many
right
enemies.
right exactly, kind of a
hand of the king,
kind of a hand of the king,
of the king?
Situation.
Yeah, definitely when Tyrion becomes like, hand of the king,
kind of a Tyrion Bronn situation.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, Bronn is an extra friend.
Yeah, but
yeah, I really like this is giving yeah. me stakes, this chapter. Yeah. That I've been much needing,
basically. Like, after I read these chapters, I was like, oh,
I want to keep reading.
Yeah, I was going to keep reading, yeah.
That's why I accidentally read this chapter last time. So we go on to chapter, the next of the Magi.
Malakus Qui is not doing so well.
No, he's a real weak, I mean, he's kind of a wiener.
He's,
I'm surprised they sent him, to be honest.
This is what I thought was going to happen when Logan was up on the mountain. And I think, you know, and then he just, like, came off the mountain within, like, 2 pages.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you mean you thought it was going to happen to Logan?
No, like, you know, they're really describing, like, how white, bad shape they are.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess Logan's been, you know...
He's been out there for a while.
So, yeah. So, he's not in the greatest shape either, but he's just, you know, more experienced.
But we do learn about his... So, in these first few pages, we do learn about Logan's, like... moral standing, because he says you learn to tell when somebody isn't getting up again, and you think he's gonna leave Malakus, and then, like, a little bit later he's carrying him,
right?
And it's surprising because he says he's, like, left tons of people before.
Yeah, I mean, he left, like, his friends up on the mountain.
Yeah,
he's like, all right, those guys are gone, see ya.
The one thing he was really sad about was when he said farewell. Fare you well, old friend. The pot did not reply. I'm bummed that this pot is gone.
It's gone. Honestly, I hope the pot makes a triumphant return down the line.
Like, it'll be like Homeward Bound. Starring Pot. But that's, like, the most concrete relationship Logan had this whole story so far. He's got his gross blanket.
Maybe it's because, like, his previous, like, friend group is gone.
Yeah.
So maybe he's like, well, I don't know.
It's like when you have a breakup and you, like, cut and dye your hair because you're like, forget it. Just forget all of them. So now Logan's in bad shape, but he's carrying Malakus. Okay. And we get to the name of the series. the first law.
Yeah.
Which I didn't really actually understand. It's kind of Malachus, like, rambling in his decrepit state. It's kind of one of these things, like, it'll make sense later what he's saying, but right now I can't figure this out.
He says, "It's forbidden," he whispered, staring at Logan with wide eyes, "to touch the other side."
Other side's capitalized.
Yeah. "To speak with devils," he croaked, grabbing hold of Logan's battered coat. The creatures of the world below are made of lies. You mustn't do it."
So, seems like he's talking about the other side as in the spiritual world.
Yeah, the outer limits.
I don't know what the Outer Limits theme song is. So, I mean, like, we get a little bit. I'm not quite satisfied with that, right. But oh well. And so, the rest of this bit is basically him trotting along. He was tired of everything, of the Shanka, of the wars, of his whole life. Sounds a bit like Glotka.
Yeah, yeah. These guys are, these guys are fed up.
Yeah,
they're fed up. Yeah, where's their retirement, you know? They're like, where's their 401k package?
They're both like 32.
Well, you know, life expectancy back then was 45.
What is back then?
Whatever. Maybe this is a future world.
I know. Honestly, I always think about that. I'm like, because you could just, like, let's say this world, our humanity, we kill each other out.
Yeah.
And then, like, you wait another billion years and things, like, regenerate. Who knows?
Yeah, definitely. I really enjoyed Dune.
I still never read or seen it.
One of the finest works of literature ever, honestly.
So you recommend the book over the movie?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the movie's cool, too.
And didn't David Lynch do Dune?
Yeah,
that's weird. That's what makes me want to watch it.
It's not very David Lynch.
Oh,
the book itself is weird as fuck. So even David Lynch can't, like, out-weird the freaking book.
I think he actually, you're right. His best stuff is when he's working with, like, the most mundane.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
so
why Twin Peaks was
I mean,
great.
It's incredible. And so when they establish, so the book is amazing. It's like a microcosm for American colonialism and our, like, involvement in the Middle East and, like, the world's dependency on oil. In this, like, sci-fi universe, everyone's dependent on this one spice that's made in this one desert planet, and it's, like, really incredible. And they set it in the future, but it's, like, the year, like, 10,000 something.
Oh.
So every, like, future thing you read or see, it's, like, the year 2000, like, 70. You know? It's like super, super cool. Like, even, like, Minority Report. I'm pretty sure Minority Report was set in, like, 2015 or some shit. You know? But, like, they always lowball, like, the time, you know?
That's true. 1984.
Come on. Dune was just like, fuck it. 8,000 years.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have, finally, Logan comes upon this, like, city? Kind of, like, enclosed community. And thank goodness, because everybody's tired. He tries to get in, gets a little guff, but then he's like, "I'm here to see Baez and the guy." It was very Wizard of Oz. "Nine, is it? You should have said." And then he lets him in, and I was like, "All right, well, the wizard." So then we get basically Logan's just really happy to be inside. He actually talks about his children. There's like a couple flashbacks. So there's a lot of like flashbacks to like childhood and stuff in these couple of chapters, either people's own childhood or like their actual children. So then we finally encounter Baez, and it's the old bait and switch. We think it's the guy who looks like Gandalf.
Yeah.
That would be annoying.
This is like the King North of the Wall.
For sure.
He does that thing with the
what's his butt? King of Bones? Beard. I forget. So he's dressed all in white with a long beard, hook nose, and white hair spilling from under a white skull cap. Today on the bus, I saw a man in this exact outfit. And I was like, nice.
He's obviously a wizard.
He had white Beats by Dre, too. And I was like, excellent.
That's like, that's wizards only rock Beats by Dre phones, headphones.
Why wouldn't you? You could probably conjure money, and that stuff's expensive. So then, the actual Magi is a butcher who's just, like, a bald dude who still seems kind of powerful, but it seems like it was one of those things, like, where he's like, oh, yeah, I could see he's powerful.
Yeah.
Only after second looking.
Logan shrugged, "Hard words are for fools and cowards."
Mm.
Boom. use that next time you're in a bar and someone's talking smack.
Hell yeah. Is this when Calder shows up?
Yeah.
This is when Calder shows up. This little butthead. I did think of the mountain mm-hmm. and the hound, because it talks about Calder and his brother, and the brother's apparently a lot worse than Calder.
Right, so they show up to this, Wizard Central, which is
it's like Wizard.
It's like a fortified bridge, okay?
But it's also got, like, townspeople and, like, town square.
It just seems
like a town on, like, a... Maybe, like, the Erie? Like, you have to take a bridge to get... Yeah. It seems like it's very...
Well, it's more like the Twins, you know? Because it is a fortified bridge, but the Twins never looked that, like, defensive. It is closer like the Erie, honestly. It looks like this is the kind of, like, village where it could just totally get, you know, sacked, like, at any time. But the fact that they have this, like, super... defensible position, like, it allows them to, like, just kind of hang out with a bunch of old guys.
But also, like, a bunch of magic guys, so who's gonna mm-hmm. come and do that?
Yeah.
That's not my... I'm not gonna attack a wizard.
And, like, they hear about the King of the Northmen, Bethed, and Logan apparently knows him from way back. Mm. He says he'd known Bethed when he was next to nothing, a little chieftain like so many others. And he was, like, talked about he was very ambitious, and he's bold and proud and ruthless, so... He's a little surprised that he made it, like, all the way to the king, but, like, also not really.
Yeah, it seems like there's, every couple years there's a new one of these guys, which makes it seem like there's always a threat from the north.
Right, and one of Bethed's sons is this little shit called Calder, and he's, like, our Joffrey Baratheon character, and he comes up, and he strolls up, and...
He's annoying.
Yeah, it starts like...
His brother, Scale, who I can't wait to meet.
Also, sounds like Scale. A Hound Mountain situation going on.
That's
over here.
That's what I said literally 5 minutes ago.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, you were not paying attention. Fine. No, but I would never equate the Hound with... It's like if the Hound and the Mountain were, like, prep schools kids. So, Calder also recognizes Logan... But Logan decides to take the high road / the quiet road.
Yeah.
If you mean to kill, you better get right to it than talking about it. That's his philosophy, which I agree with. Talking shit just displays your own insecurities.
Just get it going. Get that blade out. Stab him in the neck right away.
That does not happen. But basically, everybody's just like, Calder, shut up.
Yeah. Calder's like, hey...
Do what my dad wants.
Do what my dad wants. And Baez uses the Force. Mm. Total death.
Wait, Darth is that Vader. What it's called?
No.
Oh, I was like, they don't
But he totally Darth Vader'd him. Yeah. He's like, hey, man. Shut does up. A little neck pinch. And then Calder sank slowly to his knees, face twisted, eyes watering.
We actually don't know what he commands.
He, like, commands... He wants him to...
We don't know what he wants.
Go up and talk to him.
Right,
to go to the north and talk to...
I feel like that's setting up a surprise, because he starts, key commands, ... and that's when he chokes him. So I'm wondering if he's asking for something really specific.
Yeah.
That we'll find out later, I bet. But... so he's... He's, like, mutant stuff. They have a little magic talk... Logan tells him the spirits are dwindling and that the magic is leaking out of this world.
Hmm, sounds similar. Actually, no, in Game of Thrones, the magic is becoming reintroduced into the world.
I feel like this is more like a...
It's like more like a get it while it's hot situation.
Yeah, I was trying to think of an actual book, though, but yeah. Sure, get it while it's hot. All right. I can't really remember The Golden Compass, but I feel like that was something like that. Anywho, they kind of just, like, leave Calder, and he, like, stumbles away, and then Baez and Logan are, like, BFF. And, Logan ends with a bath.
Yeah.
Everybody's getting taken a bath. Everybody loves a bath.
I was jotted that. Bath. Back-to-back baths.
Everybody loves bed baths, and who knows.
Very European.
Very, yeah, England-esque.
Right. But, yeah, when I was in Warsaw, couple months ago or whatever, and they didn't have shower capabilities.
Oh god, it's so cold though to take a bath.
That's how you had to do it. But you had the shower head, but there was nowhere to put it, so you just have to take a bath. Yeah. But that's also like the Korean style of like showering.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, like, when we went to King's Spa for my birthday a couple of years ago, there was, like, the European, there was, like, the American shower section where you, like, stood up and showered. And then there was, like, the Asian shower section, which were stalls that were, like, super short and a little stool and, like, a bucket. And you just, like, sat on this little stool and, like, showered yourself.
Interesting. Yeah. And when I was in Hong Kong, it was just normal showers, thank you to the English. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so now we're in our home stretch of The Good Man. I feel like every chapter starts off with somebody being uncomfortable and describing why, which I actually really enjoy.
Yeah. It was there's hot. Not a lot of comfort happening in this
series. Nobody's ever comfortable.
This is a medieval style world, and you either A, like, just seriously, like, homeless, vagabond, like, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It seems, or B, you're, like, a noble
also
who's, like, on the job and, like, doing uncomfortable shit, like, being, you know?
It seems like, honestly, like, the best that's ever gonna happen in this book is when people get to take a bath. Like, I think maybe that's the underlying theme, is that, like, everything sucks, take a bath.
Yeah, it's just, you know,
just
when you
sink into the tub.
When you're down, just go get that bath going.
I don't like to take baths. Are like in my apartment, because like we always take showers. That like I feel like the tub's just gross.
It's no more grosser than all sorts of weird stuff you do.
I know.
You know, it's most of the dust in your apartment is human skin.
Yeah, duh. Can I tell you a fact I found out today?
Sure.
Apparently, like, so when water, like pure water, doesn't actually freeze very well, and it needs some sort of particle to freeze around. Mm-hmm. So, like, oftentimes the snow forms around bacteria, like a particle of bacteria. So, like, when the snow falls, it's just like there's just like bacteria. Like, that's what's happening. It's just falling. Your bacteria. Just
get that bacteria in your mouth.
So beautiful, though. Yeah. It's just, I was like, oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you, Radiolab podcast. I mentioned two of my favorite podcasts on this, our podcast. Back to The Good Man. So we've got West, right? Yeah, who I didn't actually major think was going to be a major character.
Neither. I was reading probably about 2 pages in, and I was like, wait.
This isn't Giselle.
I was like, this isn't Giselle, like, just looking at, like, Major West. Like, this is legit Major West.
Yeah, he seems kind of like the Boyle of the story. Brooklyn Nine-Nine reference.
Full Boyle.
Like, he's, like, well-meaning, kind of, like, bland. Yeah. He's got the sister. He seems like he's, like, experiencing... He's obviously very good-natured by the end of this chapter we discovered.
I think he's more like the captain.
He's... Oh, because, Captain Holt?
Yeah, yeah, because I think he's, like... He's obviously, like, a talented guy, and he, like, got a lot of promotions. It's just, like, he's kind of, like... You know...
No, but... Well, maybe. I think he's kind of too much of a yes-man to be the captain.
Well, we shall see if Major West really does... boil down to be a yes man.
He's got like a very strong moral fiber, but also as far as we know he hasn't been tortured or abandoned in the woods or lost his whole family.
We know that he's got money. It was mentioned earlier.
He's got a sister named Artie, who's up in everybody's.
So he's standing in this like court thing,
sweating
for nearly 2 hours. So standing for 2 hours sucks.
Well, I was thinking of the Continental Congress. You know when they first convened in it's July. Philadelphia, so hot. They can't open windows because they people are out waiting outside to hear what they're saying.
They got all those freaking
Benjamin Franklin,
who
knows what doilies. He's like, just being like, ew, they're probably all like drunk and like, their breath smells horrible. I'm amazed that this country got founded sometimes. Anyways, that's what I was imagining. But it's kind of like the...
It's a very American, like, I don't know if even Americans realize how, like, scummy being American is, you know?
Like, you mean the Founding Fathers?
Like, the Founding Fathers is a bunch of sweaty, dirty dudes who are just like, fuck it, let's hammer this shit out, America.
Downtown Philly.
Yeah, let's just fucking do it. They're not in some fucking palace.
No.
Hanging around with servants and shit.
Some of them were, like, pretty rich.
Yeah.
But, so this is kind of, like, the general meeting where anybody can come and air their grievances.
Yeah.
Let's see, Morrow, he's the bad guy, right? No, Chamberlain. We've got, there's so many people in this one. Yeah. So Fordis Danhoff is the Lord Chamberlain. He is the one who's ruling on everything.
He's a big boob.
Harlan Morris is undersecretary. He seems like a real weenie.
Yeah.
But Hasselhoff, he is a real dickhead.
Yeah. He sucks.
He sucks. We want him to die immediately, in my opinion.
He reminds me of, like, a Janice Slint character.
Oh, okay.
Or like
a Professor Umbridge for all you Harry Potter fans out there.
Sure. Just, like, yelling at people. Around.
Yeah.
He's like, I am in this position. You listen to me.
I drive a Dodge. Yeah,
I can do 100 push-ups in 20 minutes.
In an hour.
In an hour.
We quoted this last time.
Fine.
And this is, like... God, I feel like I've seen this scene so many times, and it always gets me when, like, a peasant comes in, Goodman Heath, who, like, has traveled for 20 million years, and he's got, like, a legitimate complaint, and his family's starving, and Butthead Magoo is just like, no, I don't, just shut up, leave. Good day, I said. That's his. Oh, makes me. I'm such a sucker for this, and, like, for when, like, really old people are, like, eating at a diner alone, makes me so sad. You know what I mean? Like, old person just, like, anyway.
A lot of old people are really mean, and they're just, like...
No, I know, I can't actually, like, it has to be from a distance, so you don't know what their actual temperament's like.
Maybe they're just like, I hate everyone, I'm just gonna go to my favorite diner and just
fucking... Yeah, like, I'm a huge racist. That's why it's all very, like, you know, not actually. So we thought, let's see, who else do we have? Oh, we have Coster Dan Cult, the... Magister of the Guild of Mercers, and he's got complaints because the Mercers are pissed.
Yeah,
left and right, literally. It's just like clearly they're sending. So they've got an enemy in the north, Bethod. Mm-hmm, they've got the Mercers who are not happy.
They're not happy. They're getting inquisitioned.
They're doing the Inquisition. Wait, who? Oh, the Mercers. Yeah.
They're under inquisition. So their guys are, like, disappearing. They're like, what the fuck?
It seems, like, weird
because,
like...
We came into the Union because we helped you out in the last war.
Mm.
And we gave you a lot of trading rights and supplies came in. And then they got these favorable tax cuts, you know? So they're, like, balling out now. And, like, these freaking bourgeois, traditional, like, caste system loyalist guys are just like, fuck these guys, they're not noble.
They clearly have all the money, these Mercers. I don't know what they're thinking.
So, right. They're, you know, you have to give the business owners some tax breaks or shit's gonna be problematic, you know?
That government.
Yeah.
Oops, I scrolled too far.
However, they might be also the giant corporations. So
they're not nearly there yet.
Okay, We don't know.
It seems like, well, because the giant corporations are clearly in cahoots with the government. Anyway, I scrolled too far.
Guild of Mercers guy comes in. He's like, the Inquisition guys are, biting our style. And the Lord Chamberlain's like, whatever, get out of here. And then West is like, there was a kind of horrible adjusted to it, West supposed. The great and the small were treated exactly alike.
Yeah,
because
like
the farmer guy before just got like sent, he's like, oh, my lease, my land rental got totally screwed and I don't have anywhere to live. And they're just like, whatever, get out of here. Go talk to the Department of Agriculture.
Yeah.
So,
and he's like, I did.
So yeah, this whole system just sounds very bureaucratic. It's just like kind of...
It's very Kafka-esque.
Yeah, it is very Kafka-esque.
I'm just walking around an M.C. Escher painting.
Really reminded me of Terry Gilliam's Brazil.
I've never seen that.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I'll check it out.
It's totally about like... it's like... it's about bureaucracy, but it's also done through like an absurd and somewhat like postmodern and like contemporary lens of like this portrayal. So it's like an artistic, weird Terry Gilliam-esque.
Is it live action?
Yeah.
Oh, check it out.
Portrayal of like a futuristic dystopian bureaucratic society, which is also like fantasy injected. It's weird. Robert De Niro's in it.
Oh,
it's really wacky. It's really good.
It does remind me. It reminds me of just The Trial and that terrible novel. I mean, the novel's not terrible, but just the terrible cycling that we all had to undergo. So okay, we've got like the Mercer, we got the peasant, but then get this, like, big dog. We get a giant. Basically, he's, like, a giant man. Bethon's emissary. It's, like, a couple people, and then there's one who's just, like, straight up a giant.
Yeah.
I guess. And everybody's scared of him, well, including his friend.
It was, like, you know, there's a guy, there's two guys that walk in who look like mean-ass dudes.
Yeah.
And then there was a third guy who's like, there was a livid scar across his face and through his eye, which was blind white. So this guy...
White eyes, always scary.
Yeah, this guy is, like, always looking pretty, like, pirate as well.
No, you gotta, like, if that looks scary, but then that guy has no depth perception. He'd be easy to take out. Just hit him in the knees. My bet, Artie, she's gonna kick him in the knees at some point. No, I'm just joshing.
But, however, I guess when you're in a battle, you're just like, fuck it, swing. Just swing.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of time to...
I do, like, if you're a huge dude in a battle, you've got that advantage. But it's also like, you're such a huge target.
Yeah, no, it's so totally true.
I'd be scared to run out of time.
You know, the Romans fought in a very efficient kind of system where they had the phalanx and the short sword, and they just, you know, they fought a lot of Germanic peoples with these giant swords and giant axes, but they just had their little short sword, and they just went for stabbing. And then a lot of stabbing in the legs.
Right,
and under,
that's what I would do.
And they just stab you, and then they just walk over you, and they just stab you. Just
you get those tendons, you're done.
That was her whole thing, so that's true. I just think the thing is, like, you know, if you're a huge dude and, like, you fight well, then you get, like, promoted, you become a knight, get some armor,
Have we heard the phrase knight in this? I don't think we have.
No. The whole thing is, you know, the front lines are made up of usually, like, lower-end soldiers, men-at-arms, peasants, and if you are, like, a giant dude and a good soldier, then you get... optimal placement into battle, you get a horse, you can escape, you can flank, you know, you're calling the shots, and that's the difference maker. Especially, like, the armor, you know?
Yeah.
A couple of peasants with wooden pitchforks, and you got armor, you get a lot of second chances.
It's true. So we learned that this guy's name is White Eye Hansel, which immediately made me think of Hansel from Zoolander. Hansel's so hot right now. I really wish his name wasn't Hansel, because
Magnum, Blue Steel, it's all the same. Am I taking crazy pills here?
Sarah and I watched that, like, a couple months ago, and I swear to God, neither of us had laughed at a movie as loud and as, like, freely. That movie's so funny.
Underrated. Underrated.
People forgot about it, I think. Yeah. Like, it was at the time very, rated. But it holds up.
Came out, no one, like, really said this was, like, amazing.
People quoted it for, like, literally 2 years. And now everybody stopped. But we should all bring it back. That's what I'm saying. We should do that.
There's a lot of really, really hilarious time-tested comedies out there that, like, never got great reviews when they came out. I think, like, reviewers have a bad sense of humor.
Probably. They're boring. Though I did read... this is depressing. The guy that wrote Zoolander killed himself.
In a
gasoline fire? No! That's so horrible. I'm sorry. Right. Anyways. So we've got White Eye Hansel.
Derelict.
So he actually is there just as a translator.
Right.
The dark figure is Fenris, though.
Yeah.
Fenris.
So actually slick move. The Northmen, though they seem like barbarians, still have enough foresight to actually send a translator. Like, it seems like a smooth guy, too.
Yeah. This is so... But the huge guy's Fenris the Feared, which is a little on the nose for me. But, you know, whatever. So, basically, all that happens is that he, like, gives... He agrees to give him an audience, right? With a... With the guy the next day? That's all that happens there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And basically this Lord Chamberlain guy sees all these freaking guys that he should be doing his job with and, like, you know, mediating issues and stuff. And then finally, like, a grand emissary comes in. He's like, oh, finally something, like, worth my time, you know? So he, like, actually gives him the time and does his job, so...
And then our last visitor of the day is a wizard. He's a wizard. That's kind of where we end.
So the wizard comes in,
yeah,
and then the Lord Chamberlain's like, oh yeah, this is gonna be great.
Yeah, he's like, like we haven't won forever.
Yeah, this is like the equivalent of like, this is like going to like a medical conference with a bunch of doctors and being like one of those like natural healing people.
Yeah, you know? You do Reiki.
Yeah, yeah, and like they're all just like, oh yeah, all right, send them in.
Yeah, know? For sure.
So they're obviously not. He obviously does not believe this, but he's just like, you know, bored and wants to be entertained. So this guy walks in, mm-hmm. and he just like does not give a fuck. Like he's just like, hey, sup. This is what's going down. I'm the guy. And Lord Chamberlain's like, whatever. Do you have any correspondence? Like, yup, here's my letter. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then he, like, does a shout-out to Major West.
Yeah.
And Major's like, whoa, like, how does wizard guy know my name? That's weird. Yeah. So.
But they also, so the Magi was hoping to meet up with the Lord Chancellor Feekt, but that's the one that's dead.
Right.
So we don't have a new Lord Chancellor yet.
Right.
But we're thinking it's going to be that dude that, what's
his name? So this could also have something to do with the fact that Lord Chancellor Feekt is dead.
Yeah, could definitely. And
Hoff immediately is like, Hoff turned to the Undersecretary for our audience. Go immediately to Archlector Sult. Tell him we must meet at once. Then fetch High Justice Morovia and Lord Marshal Varys. Tell them it is a matter of the very highest importance and not a word to this to anyone beyond those three. So,
secret.
The High Justice. So before the previous chapter, they were talking about how the military and the Justice Department were kind of like feuding,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, "Fuck it, get everyone." So this is like this is serious big. Business.
I wonder, what is it? Who knows? I guess we'll find out soon. But West is just kind of like all over the place. He gets shut out because he's like, "Forget about this leaf." Then he's thinking about his sister, and he's like, why the hell did I put the two of them together? Total Boyle move. Like, of course, it's going to happen. Something's going to happen.
Yeah.
You dumb. He just believes in people, which is why he does a good deed at the very end of the chapter to close it out. He sees the farmer who's, like, got the 1,000-yard stare, and he says, I'll try to do something for him, and then he gives him money, and I was like, aw.
Yeah.
But I feel like you're going to die, but aw.
Right. Right, hopefully West, you know, West's got a bunch of money, apparently, from what I hear. He was the richest one at the table earlier.
Oh, was that him? Was he the... Okay.
I thought so. I thought it was West. So, you know, he's like, fuck it. This is bullshit.
Yeah.
This guy got screwed. I'll be fine. Here you go.
Yeah. Okay, so for next time, these next two chapters are actually kind of long. Maybe we should just do two. Take a look. We've got On the List, for sure... On the List, followed by An Offer and a Gift.
Well, we're four pods in.
A bit long.
But we're one. We're probably.
Oh, wait, never mind. I'm sorry. No, we'll do the next three.
We're between 1/4 and 1/5 in.
Okay, so we're four pods in.
So we're on this pace.
We'll do three.
Let's do the next three. And at this pace, we should be able to do this book in about. 15 episodes.
Okay, so next time we've got On the List, followed by An Offer and a Gift, and then the last one is, I think it's the King of the Northmen. The King of the Northmen.
Yeah.
Rob.
Uh-huh.
JK.
King of the North.
Okay. Cool, dudes.
So, excited?
I am so excited to have my book. I've been using my computer and it's annoying.
Yeah, the book has been great. Underlining. I highly recommend it for you guys.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't matter. You guys can just read whatever.
I should order my second one now.
But yeah, again, please review us on iTunes. Rate us on iTunes. Share with your fantasy obsessed friends.
Yeah.
And
it's not like. I don't think our podcast is isolatingly fantasy based.
No, definitely not.
As long as you're reading the book. Otherwise, yeah. It's weird, but...
Yeah. But...
Cool.
Mike's catching up, and oh, nice. I want to... I think we'll have Mike on the pod one of these days.
Cool.
Just to get some... perspectives from Mike. So
Mike's would be, I think he'd be a fun guest.
Yeah.
We could play some games, maybe.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Cool, guys. Have a great week.
See ya. Yeah, and hopefully the downstairs neighbors jamming Mexican music for the past half hour.
Yeah. Oh, I kind of turned that out, but
I tuned it out too, but they are just they're getting down tonight. They're getting down tonight. So
you should too.
Yeah, so get with it.
Okay, bye.
See ya.